stay connected to the world around you, KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Thursday, January 29th. A program that could help with healthcare staffing shortages in our region. More on that next, but first, the headlines. The San Diego County Board of Supervisors yesterday approved the Civil Liberties Enforcement and Accountability Rules Ordinance. It restricts federal law enforcement's access to county facilities without a warrant and requires a yearly report on DHS activity, including any interactions or cooperation with the county sheriff. It passed on a 3-1 vote. District 5 Supervisor Jim Desmond voted against it.
And that's what Minnesotans and San Diegans deserve going forward. Law enforcement agencies working together. So I'm going to be registering a no vote at item 9. I feel this is a divisive and restrictive and not collaborative, so I'll be registering a no vote.
According to Lawson Reamer's office, the ordinance will go into effect in 30 days. More news coming from the County Board of Supervisors. Yesterday, the board unanimously approved the release of $4 million in reserve funds. The funds will go towards expanding a program that provides air purifiers to households suffering from severe air pollution. The program has been spearheaded by Supervisor Paloma Aguirre, who spoke with me recently about just how essential she feels this expansion is for members of our South Bay community.
Now, the last year and a half, we've had a cohort of 4 different universities studying the air, the soil, the water, and now there's empirical evidence that that is actually contributing to the pollution, not just of our coastal waters, but of the air we breathe. And we as humans breathe about 11,000 liters of air in a day. So people who live in these affected communities don't have the option to not breathe clean air. And for us, it's an intersectional issue of climate change and environmental justice related to the Tijuana River. So the urgency cannot be overstated.
Aguirre's office says participants of the program report a reduction in sewage odors in their homes, improved breathing, better sleep, and fewer headaches. The Port of San Diego just received a $200,000 grant to fund the fight against an invasive algae that's spreading in our bays. The species is known as Caulerpa and is native to Florida and other tropical and subtropical climates. It can take over non-native habitats and displace native plants and the animals that rely on those plants for food. Trained divers will cover and seal the algae, which kills it by blocking it from light and oxygen. It then needs to be monitored for 2 years to make sure it doesn't grow back. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Figuring out the right sport for your kid can feel overwhelming. I'm taking that journey with my son, Dorian, exploring different sports and revisiting the fields that I grew up playing. Together, we're searching for the right fit and maybe reconnecting with a few old memories along the way. It's Game Time Decision, a new series from KPBS. Join us at kpbs.org/gametime.
A new scholarship program in the county is training more frontline healthcare workers. Reporter Heidi DeMarco says the region has a healthcare staffing shortage.
I had a passion for being a medical doctor one day.
Suleiman Abubakar is from the Democratic Republic of Congo.
I was able to do a certificate in nursing.
He immigrated to the United States in 2023 as a refugee. Today, he's enrolled in the Laura Rodriguez Medical Assistant Institute at Family Health Centers of San Diego. An $80,000 investment from Blue Shield covers tuition, books, and uniforms for 10 students.
It's such a great pathway as a first step into a career in healthcare.
Meredith Johnston manages development for the Family Health Centers. She says jobs like medical assistants are one of the fastest ways to expand the workforce.
Some go on to be licensed vocational nurses and nurse practitioners.
She says medical assistant programs typically take less than a year. They allow students to quickly enter clinics and relieve pressure on overwhelmed staff. A report from the San Diego Workforce Partnership found medical assistants are among the most in-demand healthcare jobs in the region.
After finishing the program, I'm hoping I'll be getting $26, which I feel like it's a good start.
Johnston says scholarships like this train workers from the communities most affected by the health worker shortage. Heidi DeMarco, KPBS News.
A proposal to tax empty second homes and short-term rentals in San Diego failed to move forward yesterday. Metro reporter Andrew Bowen says the tax would have appeared on the June ballot.
The proposal would have applied to homes that are vacant for most of the year and those rented short-term on platforms like Airbnb. Both kinds of homes would have been taxed at $8,000 per year. The tax faced intense opposition from short-term rental hosts. Councilmember Sean Ila Rivera proposed the tax measure and urged his colleagues to support it.
I will not for a second say that this will solve San Diego's housing affordability issue, but I am trying to maintain some consistency in saying that every time we build a home, we are doing what we can to try to make it better. And the same applies to a home that is turned from an empty home or short-term vacation rental into a home for a San Diegan.
Ultimately, the City Council's Rules Committee voted 3-2 on Wednesday to reject the tax proposal, meaning it will not appear on the city's June ballot. Andrew Bowen, KPBS News.
The latest in a series of local protests against ICE tactics took place last night in Oceanside. Reporter Jacob Ayer says protesters are responding to the death of a second person in Minnesota at the hands of federal agents.
Organizers of the protests say their message to the Trump administration is end ICE violence and deportations. They're responding to what protesters say is escalating violence from federal immigration officers, including the killings of Renee Good and Alex Preddy in Minneapolis. Larry Warner says he's one of the protest organizers.
What we saw in both of those was immediately the administration vilifies the victim, justifies the actions, and yet as we watch the videos, they don't go together. And so there's been this ongoing lack of accountability and transparency with the actions of ICE.
Warner says he's seen a lot of fear and anger in his community over ICE enforcement across the country. Jacob Ayer, KPBS News.
Meanwhile, over in El Cajon, residents made their voices heard at the city council meeting on Tuesday. East County reporter Elena Faro says many spoke out against the city's continued support of President Trump's immigration policies.
An El Cajon city council meeting was once again the setting for public clashes over immigration. This time it came after the killings of Renee Good and Alex Preddy at the hands of federal agents this month. Last February, council members approved a resolution declaring that El Cajon is not an immigrant sanctuary city. This despite San Diego being a sanctuary county and California being a sanctuary state. Alicia Aguayo was among more than a dozen people who spoke at Tuesday's meeting.
These are not our values. They're trying to get the attention of this federal administration.
Most speakers joined Aguayo in condemning the council's action, but a handful voiced their support. In an interview with KPBS after the meeting, Mayor Bill Wells said he thinks critics are mischaracterizing the resolution.
We're not asking our police officers to break the law. What we did was we voiced our opinion that the federal law supersedes the state law. That's it.
The council has not made any plans to address the resolution at future meetings. Elaine Alfaro, KPBS News.
A KPBS investigation this month shed light on how a database managed by the San Diego Association of Governments might help federal immigration agencies avoid state immigrant sanctuary laws. Investigative reporter Gustavo Solis says the agency's board members are now voicing concerns.
The KPBS investigation found that SANDAG gives some federal immigration agencies access to a database known as ARGIS. And there's little oversight to ensure that agencies like Customs and Border Protection follow the rules that prohibit them from using the database for immigration enforcement. In response to the investigation, members of SANDAG's board of directors asked for a staff presentation. At the agency's public meeting last week, ArGIS Director Anthony Ray described how the database works.
The mission is to get the right information to the right people at the right time.
Every law enforcement agency in San Diego County feeds data into ArGIS. The data includes traffic citations, arrest records, field interviews, a local jail census, and even some driver's license records. Ray talked at the meeting about some of the ways the data is being used.
And the way it works is if a deputy in Vista was looking for Tony Ray to be as a suspect, witness, victim, contact information, whatever the reason may be, they would put it in the officer notification system. And if a police officer in El Cajon happened to contact Tony Ray and run through the system, they would get an immediate alert.
The SANDAG Board of Directors includes elected officials from the county government and all of the region's 18 cities. Board members agreed that sharing information with federal agencies is, generally speaking, a good idea. But many questioned whether federal immigration agencies can be trusted. Carlsbad Council member Kevin Shin referenced the arrest of U.S. veterans.
The relationship that they have to have on the federal side does need to exist. The only problem is the fact that one layer of this cake is so pronounced, and it really does look like, this is just my military side of it all, it looks like tactics are being taken without any strategic objective.
Other board of directors referenced the killings by federal agents in Minneapolis and the detention of a 5-year-old boy in that city. The main concern is that, without independent oversight, SANDAG has no way of knowing whether CBP is using ArGIS to evade California's sanctuary law known as SB 54. Here's how Solana Beach Mayor Lisa Huebner summed it up.
The question is, basically, are all ArGIS member agencies complying with SB 54? And to me, the answer is we don't know.
Local privacy advocates have long criticized the relationship between Border Patrol and ArGIS. That relationship is even more concerning because of the Trump administration's mass deportation campaign. Here are some of the public comments from that SANDAG meeting.
We have to have safeguards in place. We have to have principles in place. And that's what the future of ArGIS should be about.
More data does not equal more safety. More surveillance does not equal more trust.
Over the last year, we have witnessed these agencies show a blatant disregard for the rule of law and the Constitution, arresting individuals without warrants, assaulting, detaining, and killing individuals on the streets.
After the public comments, ArGIS Director Ray confirmed KPBS's reporting that ArGIS cannot independently run audits, that immigration agencies are essentially policing themselves. Lemon Grove Mayor Allison Snow dug in a little further. She asked Ray whether SANDAG could simply look to see how often a certain agency uses ArGIS.
Have we conducted an audit to see what the actual usage is and who is obtaining this data? Have there been spikes in data usage from particular departments? Are we doing that level of analysis?
Are you asking if ArGIS is doing that? No.
County Supervisor Paloma Aguirre questioned whether CBP should have access to ArGIS going forward.
But what we're seeing is no due process, and what we're seeing is violation of the Constitution from this agency. So I think this merits further discussion.
And San Diego Council member Vivian Moreno was even more blunt. She called on SANDAG to terminate its relationship with federal immigration agencies.
I've seen enough from our federal agencies to know that I do not want to participate in what ICE is doing.
Other members of the board of directors cautioned against removing CBP from ArGIS because it may have negative public safety implications. The board of directors decided to ask SANDAG's legal team to write a report on ArGIS use, oversight, and what options they can take in future meetings. Gustavo Solis, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I really want to thank you for that. Have a great day.
From El Centro to everywhere, we're voices of IA.
Voices del Valle?
Voices del Valle is a team-produced podcast about coming of age in California's Imperial Valley.
I love Voices del Valle.
On the next episode of Voices del Valle, we will talk with teens about their cheer and soccer championship seasons. I've got to listen to that. Voices del Valle, fresh voices, bold stories made in the valley.
Voices del Valle, find us on KPBS or wherever you get your podcasts.